13,000 fewer employees work at the Internal Revenue Service today than in 2010. The agency's budget is down about 10% since then. John Koskinen's commissioner of the Internal Revenue Service and warning of the impact to citizens in the upcoming tax season because of budget cuts Congress imposed in the budget deal that was reached last week. John, Mr. Commissioner, it's a pleasure to talk to you again. Thank you for coming on the program. What is at the core of some of the things that you talked about in your news conference last week? Is it really just a matter of not enough dollars to fulfill the mission of the agency right now, sir? Thanks for coming on this afternoon.
My pleasure being here. No, that's really the bottom line is that, we've now reached, if not the breaking point, clearly the point where there is no easy way to cut any other expenses out of the agency. You know, we've saved about $1 billion in efficiencies over the last 5 years, but there's a limited amount of work you can do in that area, and we're now down after 5 years in a row of budget cuts to a point where we have no choice but to cut back on taxpayer services and enforcement and the development, further development of our information technology.
And we've spoken before about the state of the Internal Revenue Service's information technology system as it is. A number of the programs that you engage in that are taxpayer-facing are very advanced and quite at home in the 21st century. Not all of your IT is there, right, sir?
No, that's right. We're delighted that we've been able to develop apps on our website, such as Where's My Refund, which had a couple hundred million hits last year. But we're still driving what I call an updated Model T with, I call it a great GPS system and a wonderful sound system and a rebuilt engine, but it still looks an awful lot like a Model T. And we can't provide, as a result, taxpayers the full range of online services that we think they deserve.
The data that we have on federalnewsradio.com says that your $10.9 billion budget is $1.2 billion less than the agency received in 2010. So as I mentioned, you're down about 10% in the last 4 years, $346 million just in this year. What is it your sense, that, at least right now, that you won't be able to do for the rest of fiscal 15 that you were able to do in 14 and years before that, sir?
Well, we've always been concerned about the level of taxpayer service on our call service. This last year, we struggled to have a level of service at about 60%, which meant that 40% of people didn't get through to a live operator. With this cut, we have no choice but to end up with a level of service over the full year of in the range of 50%, which means half the people calling aren't going to get a hold of a live person. And we just think that's a miserable level of service. The people who care most about that are our employees, who feel that the taxpayers deserve better, and our employees would love to be able to provide better service. We just don't have enough people.
You also mentioned, when you talked about this, the budget situation that you're in, that the 1% pay increase, which is decent news for federal employees, will actually impact your agency a lot more than it impacts other agencies. How so?
Well, the 1% will cost us about $240 million, and if you add that as an additional cost along with some benefit increases that go with it, you end up with the 350 plus the almost 250, you have a $600 million hit. So for most agencies, we're the only agency at the major agency at a post-sequester level to begin with. Now we're $600 million below it. So for most agencies that have been at a level funding or even a modest increase, the 1% is an absorbable number. But when you've been cut as far as we have, the 1%, which we're delighted to have for our employees, does mean that we have an even deeper hole to dig out of.
So the 1% isn't provided for anywhere in that $10.9 billion. You've got to come up with that somewhere in order to meet that congressional mandate. Is that correct?
That's correct. In other words, it's a government-wide program that we strongly support, but it's not in our budget provided by the appropriator, so we've got to come up with that money along with filling the $350 million hole.
John Koskinen is the commissioner of the Internal Revenue Service. You mentioned that the IRS is imposing a hiring freeze. Is that 100% across the board, or are there contingencies for people that you absolutely have to bring in where you'll be able to still hire?
Well, our budget is about, give or take a little, 75% people. So we have to look at all of our personnel expenses as a way to try to cut costs. So the things we're looking at are a hiring freeze and a freeze on overtime, as well as some decline in hiring of temporary or seasonal employees. But I've told our CFO as we're working our way through this that we have to take the money we save, could save with no overtime and no hiring, and take 10 or 15% of that and set it aside, because we know there are going to be situations where we need to hire people where it makes no sense not to. And in the middle of filing season, if the IT system has a problem on a Friday afternoon, we can't say, well, we're shut down for 2 days because we can't afford the overtime. So we will, in emergency circumstances, provide overtime. We will where we need to, and it's critical. Hire people to fill leadership slots or slots with important, technological or other expertise that we need to operate.
How frozen is frozen, I guess, is the question I was getting at, and I appreciate your answer, Commissioner. Another issue that I wonder about is whether you'll be able to do anything regarding promotions, or whether folks will be frozen at the pay levels that they're at now. If your budget is really that tight, it strikes me that it might be difficult for you to be able to give people even step increases if they earn them.
No, I strongly feel that what we've got to do is, first, we need to do a responsible job managing the agency, and we can't do anything silly like saying, well, as I said, if the IT system goes down on a weekend, we can't fix it. On the other hand, I strongly feel we have to be supportive of our workforce. We have to invest in them with training. We have to provide them the support they need, and I've already been on the record that we will pay the performance awards to the 55% of the employees that earn them, and if people are eligible for promotions or increases, we need to support them. We have to invest in the workforce, otherwise over time the agency will lose its ability to perform.
Yeah, and it's encouraging to hear that for your employees, I'm sure, because I imagine that morale is an issue that you and your colleagues inside the agency at the leadership level are concerned about.
Well, we are. I mean, I think, as I've said on numerous occasions, this is a terrific workforce. It's a group of people dedicated to the mission, dedicated to public service, the best workforce I've been associated with. But they have had, tough times. 5 years of budget cuts. Federal employees generally have had very few, very modest pay raises. You've had shutdowns. You've had furloughs. The IRS has been under attack for the last year and a half for the determination process for tax-exempt organizations. So if you put it all together, you'd think that you'd go out to talk to employees and they would be, morose and downhearted. But I've now been to 37 different IRS offices, met with over 13,000 employees, and it's amazing the level of enthusiasm and dedication that I find out there. Their concern is not that they're overworked, although they are. Their concern is that we don't have enough people and enough resources to provide the services to taxpayers they deserve and to be able to enforce the tax code the way it needs to be enforced.
What was your budget request for this year compared to what you actually got, John?
Compared to what we got, the request was about $1.5 billion higher. That's what OMB and the White House thought was necessary to operate the level at a base level. So it is this budget of 10.9, as I say, is $1.5 billion less than everybody in the administration thought was necessary.
So about 12.5 is what you really need to get yourself right, get the ship righted. I want to ask you about, I don't want to get into all the political issues and all of that you've addressed since you've taken over, but it strikes me that a number of the issues that you have been pressured about from Congress are a direct result of the inability to make some of the upgrades that you have expressed a desire to do. Is that a fair derivation on my part, sir?
Well, I think that's right. I mean, again, in the customer service, taxpayer service area, our goal is not to, as I've said, go to the moon. Our goal is just to get into the 21st century and give taxpayers the ability to relate with us and deal with us the way they do today with their financial institutions. A lot of people are concerned about identity theft and refund fraud. We have been struggling because of our lack of funding over the last 2 or 3 years to be able to put enough people on the resources to the job, but most importantly, to upgrade our information technology systems to keep up with the organized crime syndicates here and around the world that we're doing battle with.
Commissioner, I appreciate your time, and I wish you and your colleagues happy holidays in this tough time, and I thank you for your time very much today.
My pleasure, Francis. Happy holidays to you and yours as well.